I have a theory that the boom and bust in green energy stocks over the last 3 years was not driven by the merits of green energy itself, but by the economic conditions that surrounded green energy and made the stock boom and bust possible. I'm joined today by our energy expert, James Allen. James, as ever, I hope you are terribly unwell.
I'm actually feeling very well actually at the moment, Nick. I know there's lots of coughs and colds around, but personally, I'm doing, I seem to have escaped it. I had a brush with dengue fever earlier on in the year, and I think hopefully I've got my illness for the year out of the way. But right at the moment, yeah, very well. Thank you.
I'm recovering as well, so we can get our ideological debates back on track. My close personal enemy, James Allen, I called you in my notes here, but I don't want to be too cruel. Let's dig into the topic here. Give me an idea of what was behind the boom, especially in 2021, of green energy stocks, because it wasn't necessarily the idea that this was, you know, the best energy revolution ever. It was also about all of these, you know, it was almost a perfect setup. Everything around green energy was just right.
Yeah, exactly. So the actual boom really happened, I'd say, in 2020. We saw the most of the sort of the clean energy indexes rise, you know, over 200% in 2020. Obviously, that was in the height of the pandemic. There was a massive expansion in sort of green energy endeavors in the US and across Europe. They really started to put say they were going to put lots and lots of billions of dollars and euros into the green energy expansion. Lots of proposed and implemented green recovery plans. That sort of meant that clean energy stocks really performed much better, I guess, than their fossil fuel peers. Also, a load of speculative money just entered the space. And I just know, just anecdotally speaking to, you know, I guess sort of part-time, semi-interested investors, you know, my peer group, lots of them right at that moment were really interested in getting into sort of clean energy stocks. There was lots of hype in the market. We saw, you know, lots of, you know, obviously in the pandemic, you know, plunging energy demand, that seemed to hit fossil fuels much harder than clean tech. And obviously the final thing is that we had, obviously interest rates were obviously at near sort of historic lows at that point, and that sort of helped finance large CapEx renewable projects, basically. Obviously high interest rates are particularly tough for clean energy companies. They often carry more debts, which makes them much more sensitive to rising rates. So funding in the debt markets was a good move, I guess, for most clean energy firms that year and beyond, until sort of rates began to soar.
Right, so that gets us to the next point in this story, which is the bust in green energy stocks. I think it's 2022, as I remember, it's 2023 especially. Again, the story in the media especially is that this was on the merits of green energy, the idea that wind farms are actually not viable, and, you know, the green energy transition is not going to work out, and all these sort of skeptics, people like me saying, you know, we told you so, none of this is going to work. But actually, it might have been about the secondary factors surrounding green energy. That might have been the real explanation for what was going on in green energy stocks. So take us through what happened there. I'm thinking especially of the reference to the supply chain issues that were experienced. A lot of different economies and different industries experienced during that period.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I guess the peak of the market was in January 21. We had some, you know, some nice upside, I guess, later on that year. But really, we've been more or less in a bear market, I guess, since 2021. We obviously had high interest rates. You know, interest rates started to sort of ratchet higher. It didn't help for the reasons I've just pointed out. We had a weaker sort of global economy generally. That were sort of headwinds for clean tech as well. That seemed to smash all sort of tech and growth stocks particularly. And as you say, we had dizzying inflation sort of after the pandemic, and we had some of these broken supply chains, which really sent costs soaring for lots of companies in the space, really. So just as sort of firms sort of, I guess, began to sort of recover from some of these supply shocks, you know, there was, you know, rates then went back up again, you know, which sort of put another dampener on profitability. And I guess a lot of that hype and speculative money, that hot money that entered the space in, you know, 2019, 2020, in the early parts of maybe 2021, you know, they departed the space in a hurry, really. So, yeah, it's been a tough old time for clean tech. I would guess, you know, what you said is exactly right. Those surrounding economic conditions would be the main driving force, you know, but we can't also deny there was a, I guess, a, you know, clean tech did sort of become more in the front lines of the culture wars, I guess. There was a lot of pushback against clean energy from, you know, we could talk about where this came from. But, you know, there was increasing skepticism, shall we say, about some of these projects and their viability. But your central thesis, I'd say, is correct. It was the surrounding, the macroeconomic conditions, which made it really tough for these projects, basically.
And that brings us to the final point I think we need to make here, which is that although you and I cannot agree on anything when it comes to green tech or climate change or these sorts of issues, we're starting to agree on what might happen next when it comes to these surrounding economic conditions, which suggests that a skeptic and a green dream believer might equally be interested in investing in green energy stocks at this point. So take us through what those tailwinds that became headwinds that might now become tailwinds in 2024 might be.
Yeah, no, exactly right. So I think now is becoming a really interesting time to start looking at the clean tech space again. We're obviously seeing the global rate cycle seems to be turning. US 10-year rates have fallen to around 4%. There's growing consensus that the US economy can achieve a soft landing, that inflation will cool, and the Fed Reserve is finished with tightening happening here as well. Obviously, just today we heard that UK inflation has fallen to 3.4% in the year to February, the lowest level in 2.5 years. It's looking increasingly likely that we're going to see some rate cuts later on this year. And yeah, as I said, you know, the rate cycle has turned. That's going to be a big boost for clean energy companies. But yeah, even a stabilization in rates is going to be a positive, I think. And as you know, that those lags sort of in the system kick in, really. So yeah, that's looking very good. We're also getting more clarity in some of these big subsidy packages. I'd say, you know, things like the United States Inflation Reduction Act that was passed in 2022, but yet a lot of the details weren't really known about. I guess there's still a lot of clarity still to come. We're starting to get that clarity. You know, what companies are looking attractive beneficiaries of that act, and further details are going to be known in the months ahead. So that's another positive a tailwind in the space as well, and that could be really positive, I think, for a new wave of sort of solar and wind projects as well. We've also seen, you know, we talked about before that supply chain, that bloated clean energy supply chain, that's starting to normalize as well. There was a big build up in excess inventories across the supply chain. Many areas have been oversupplied, having geared up for, you know, a really high amount of growth that didn't quite materialize. But suppliers are now sort of restricting capacity growth to let demand catch up. And this rebalancing is, it looks like it's likely to be completed by the middle of this year. And I think that sort of supply chain chaos is ending. Obviously, we've also seen commodity prices come down a lot. We've seen big falls in the price of lithium. I mean, lithium has been smashed. Other battery metals as well. It seems, for example, like, you know, electric vehicles can now reach price parity with petrol vehicles, ICE vehicles, in the next year or two. So a bit ahead of schedule, because we'll be seeing some of these, you know, prices come down. And, you know, the overarching thing here, you know, we have our net zero deadlines are looming. We've seen big announcements in the amount of investments we're getting for the clean energy transition. I think investments in clean tech surged 17% last year, reaching $1.75 trillion. That's now a new record level of investments. It's much bigger now, actually, than the equivalent investments in fossil fuels now. And this is the way the direction is going. We're going to get more and more investment every single year now. So that's going to be great for jobs in this space. There's just a lot of growth, not just in the US, but also in Europe. You know, that Europe's got a green industrial plan as well. So, you know, we're going to get more and more announcements from the public sector continuing as the year goes on. So, the technology as well, I would say also, is probably in a better space, a spot now than it was, say, in 2020, when we were getting this huge sort of hype in the market. Actually now, you know, we're seeing big advances in batteries and long duration storage, particularly in hydrogen, that, you know, we're seeing potentially numerous resources for natural hydrogen. We're seeing advances in sort of sodium ion battery technology, which actually now can compete with lithium ion batteries, and, you know, even cheaper than lithium ion batteries, and that doesn't have some of the other issues that lithium ion batteries might have. So there's, that's just put the industry in a really good spot, really, to really take on sort of fossil fuels. Another competitor is nuclear, although there's been lots of, uranium's had a really good run and lots of, announcements in the nuclear space. That's not been without its issues, I'd say, as well, which could help. There's lots of substitution effect, I guess, between nuclear and renewables. Nuclear's had big cost blowouts. Hinkley Point in the UK, it's quite well known. That's way over budget, way over time. That's been replicated across Europe as well. NuScale, which has long been seen as the poster boy for small modular reactor technology, that's had huge worries over cost. It had to cancel a project. So there's increasingly concerns about nuclear. Finally, we're seeing some big electricity generation infrastructure projects, just to connect to that grid. We've seen big announcements in the UK really about the amount of money that's going to be spent beefing up our electricity grid to accommodate this huge wave, or next wave, should I say, of solar and wind. That's happening everywhere else. We're seeing different parts of Europe now being connected directly with interconnector cables. That is going to be rolling out as the decade progresses as well. So that's really going to help clean energy projects get up and running. We're seeing some of the connection problems. There's been long wait times to get some of these projects on the grid, both in Europe and in the US. There's now regulations now to fast track some of these projects as well. So it's another great sort of tailwind for clean tech, which wasn't there in 2020. And I was seeing also, I'd say visible success stories now in the market where, probably weren't so many on the ground a few years ago. We're seeing countries like sort of Norway. Norway has been increasing huge amounts of renewable power onto its grid. It's now, if you're buying a car in Norway, you're really only going to buy an EV right now. It's been a real success story there. We can obviously argue about where this money has come from. That's a different question. But Norway's a real success story, and that's starting in the UK as well. I mean, we've got some concerns about whether this government is a clean tech focused government, but actually, despite what they've been doing, really, we've seen coal pretty much come off the grid. We're seeing lots of renewables coming onto the grid, and actually the growth in the EV market actually isn't too bad at all. Yeah, despite some of the headlines we might read elsewhere. So all in all, I would say actually now is a really good, interesting, exciting time to invest in the market.
It sounds like a giant load of a waste of money to me, to be honest. But the question is not whether this is going to work, right? The question is whether the market thinks it's going to work, and how these green tech investments are priced relative to other assets. So if we're going to have lower interest rates, lower inflation, and a bunch of other surrounding economic factors change back into green energy's favor, then it's almost as if it doesn't matter. We can delude ourselves all over again, just like we did back in 2020, and we can experience another green tech boom. James, given your expertise and the fact that in the end investors do want to have a plausible investment asset, not just speculate on broader economic conditions, how do you think people should be investing this cycle around? Should it be a focus on hydrogen or battery storage technology, or what part of the green energy market are you focused on?
I mean, I would take issue with some of your points, Dad. You're seeing, we've seen some, the performance in the stock market for clean tech firms has been abysmal over the last 2.5 years, I would say. But that has actually, a lot of that bad news has been priced in. And actually, you've seen companies like Canadian Solar, which is the largest solar developer in the world. Now, that's growing at about 25 to 30% per year. It now sits at less than 5x forward earnings. So it's been smashed up, but actually it's looking quite attractive. That's a really exciting company to look at. A similar situation could be looked at Solar Edge, which is a huge sort of solar inverter manufacturer that had a really good run up until a couple of years ago, and that's been smashed ever since. There's really interesting opportunities in China, which is the world leader in clean tech investments. Low battery raw material prices has really sent there's been lots of now demand for EVs, for example, and battery tech in China. So That's a really exciting market. So, you know, you just have, you know, how I position myself, really. I tread carefully, of course. As of all investing, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. But I would look at a sort of beaten up clean tech firm that's had a tough old time, actually still growing, and has got some interesting projects on the board. I mean, you can also invest in across the battery supply chain, so you're hedged no matter where input prices go. So you might want to have an investment in a lithium miner alongside a battery company. And also, you know, bearing in mind some of this huge bottleneck in or historic bottleneck in solar and wind projects waiting to come on the grid. Now, I think there's a really interesting opportunity in something like transformers or some of the kits needed for this rollout, electricity transformers or the converter stations, I think, or pylons, cables. You know, we're going to need a lot of this stuff over the next few years to get some of these projects onto the grid because, as I said, there's a huge backlog of projects waiting to come to the grid, and that backlog is clearing. So there's already a shortage in something like in kit like transformers, and I think that's a really interesting way to play the market. So yeah, I think there's lots of opportunity now for eagle-eyed investors looking to, you know, take their stake in the next boom, shall we say, of clean energy.
I've always considered it my job to try and provide people with the contrarian investment idea. Are there something that other people don't really see happening, or something that's so beaten down by the market, or an investment angle that you won't hear elsewhere? And it's been really fascinating to, over the last few years, have come sort of full circle with you to have gone from this, you know, disagreement over the future of green energy and renewables to them being so beaten down that this has now become a contrarian play. And, you know, I have to admit, if I'm going to stick to my principles to be a contrarian investor, that I do need to at least have a look at the green energy sector, given, like you say, the valuations there, because the news has been so bad. And yet, perhaps there really is something in their business models. James, thanks very much for joining us. And everyone at home, thanks for watching.